Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Fans of the Washed Up Walk-Ons, this week got a little hectic. The Walk-Ons were busy. Drake had one of his episodes and ended up smashing his phone, so communication was bad. We didn't do great on our second episode of the week here. So it actually turned out to be pretty funny. We had a live Zoom meeting with people who are able to join. It's pretty comical towards you. Let's have it. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washa Walk-Ons fans, episode 114 or 15, I'm not actually sure, of the podcast, a.k.a. the Corona Chronicles, a.k.a. Visiting Hours, and we're back in the Zoom meeting room with some fans, and we're hopefully going to have a pretty fun conversation, so let's get it rolling.
So far, so good. I'm repping Bills Mafia, as y'all can see. I am, when it comes to fandom in the NFL, I'll jump on any bandwagon, all right?
I know you were a Seahawks fan for a while. You're a Rams fan for a while.
The Rams is legit. I can pull pictures up. I've been a Rams fan forever. So last couple of years have been better for us.
And listen, if anybody wasn't a Seahawks fan when they were taking down the Patriots with Marshawn Lynch – you're an asshole.
Yeah, should have ran the ball. But, you know, that is what it is. But you know what? I'll jump on Tampa Bay. I'll jump on the Bills if I have to. I mean, we got four guys on the Bills.
I'm definitely part of the Mafia, too. I you know, for the exact same reason. As a matter of fact, Kluver, I'll be right back.
Okay.
And he's going to go get his winter hat.
Yeah, so that is a good hat. So Drake has potentially one of the better hats in all of existence.
The one with the floppy ears. Wait for it. There it is.
There it is. Just the best Bills hat on earth.
Mafia.
And yeah, it's just it is what it is. So.
But I'm definitely part of Tampa Bay too because Tristan, that's my guy. Tried to pay him 10 grand as a freshman, and it would have paid off so handsomely.
Oh, it would have been.
Did you calculate what your deal would have been worth?
I'm not sure his deal is done yet, and I didn't ask him about I don't know. Like, once it comes out, I'm sure it'll be public.
Pretty much, like, all the first-round picks, like, your deal is pre-negotiated, so you can literally just go look it up.
I'm fairly certain that – and I don't know if – I don't know if this was – I don't know for fact, but because I was curious to see what 5 years ago Scherf got at fifth compared to what Tristan got at 13th as far as look money, because it goes up every year.
You look up Scherf, and I'll look up Tristan.
Well, I know Scherf got $12 million, and I think they got the same or about the same. I think Tristan might have got $11 million. So if you're taking 10% of that, Drake, then you're over a mil.
Been $1.1 million.
Yeah.
His signing bonus was 9.4.
9.4?
Yeah, so it would have been worth 940K.
Oh, Jimmy JJ.
Decent ROI for a four-year loan, right?
Would have been beautiful.
3 years. Would have been 3.5 years. Yeah.
So, you know. So if you guys want to start asking questions in the chat, as you can see, we already have a terrorist and someone who says that I suck dick. So,
who is right, by the way? I don't know why Jimmy JJ got kicked for that comment, because I've made that comment so many times.
Kicked his ass out.
You did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Got to kick this iPad kid out.
Yeah, I know. I got to kick him out too. And it's just what it is. And this is how this thing goes. Because evidently, 8-year-olds know how to hack Zoom meetings. Why is that a thing?
They're hacking. Just because they say that you like dicks does not mean that they're hacking.
Well, his video kept popping up, so I kept putting back. And so, yeah, I don't know. Anyone who wants to ask a question. Maybe we don't have any questions right now. I'm definitely not admitting that guy. There's not a chance.
Is this going poorly again?
It's not going poorly.
They keep saying unmute.
I'm just not going to unmute. So you got to put your question in the chat. You're not unmuting. It's not going to happen.
I think you should unmute him.
We're recording right now. It ruins the podcast, and it would just provide. It would make me have to do more editing. So, I don't know. Kevin, do we have any word on how the coronavirus is shaping up in the hospitals? When we're gonna be able to go back to normal?
So hospitals are like already starting to do elective surgeries again. They pretty much started that last week, and they're just kind of slowly ramping it back up. It's pretty much a case-by-case basis at each hospital. It's a matter of, one, can they be sure that the patient does not have COVID-19, so they have to have fast testing, and two, is there enough PPE for them to sustain doing large amounts of elective procedures, because that's the vast majority of procedures that they do. So if you're able to go right back into it, then, well, you need a shit ton of masks and gowns and all that good shit. And I think it's still in somewhat of high demand, low supply situation. So that's how things are going from a hospital standpoint. You know, stuff's still closed here in Iowa City. It probably will be for another, I'd imagine we go past the May 15th deadline all the way to June 1, but who knows? I don't know, man. I don't know.
What are your guys' thoughts on the balance between opening everything back up and when that time is, like, when can you do that?
Well, that's the thing, dude. If they actually think this is going to rebound, then is there ever a point in opening back up, first of all? Is a rebound actually going to occur, second of all? And third, is them opening up June 1st even going to, like, be sustainable? And is football going to happen, dude? I'm so worried the football is not going to happen.
Well, that's the – Football literally runs the world. It runs the world.
I mean, it runs people's happiness.
Yeah. Iowa State projected to lose $83 million there over the months that we've had this shutdown. Iowa was like 72 you and I was like 27. And that's not even that's not even during a major sporting season. So like, think about the
We only missed the, you know, Big 10, Big 12 tournaments, NCAA tournament. All the other sports in the spring aren't exactly revenue producing sports. So, oof.
So just think
imagine what you lose come football season.
Yeah. I mean, it will literally cripple universities.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, if you do the math just on one game, I don't know, what's a ticket to one Iowa football game? Like the average ticket price.
Depends where you're sitting.
Yeah, I don't think.
Well, I'm just saying average. Like,
they're not cheap.
$50
Like
100. Somebody said 100 is
100 bucks.
It depends where you're sitting. I think you can get them for as cheap as like 40 or 50.
So the average is probably like 80.
Yeah.
So let's go with 80, and Kinnick seating is 69,000 now or something like that. So let's do some quick maths on that. And
the thing with college,
if you just take 70,000 by 100, it's $7 million.
So in one game, we're probably minimum making $6 million just on tickets. Times that by 7 home games, assuming it's sold out, which, you know, it's not all the time, but close enough for example's sake. So 6 million times 7, that's $40 million just in ticket sales. Now you don't even factor in the
concessions,
the TV contract, all that stuff.
It's bad news.
It's not good. It's definitely not good. Nathan Flaherty, which Nathan, remind me in the chat, but I'm pretty sure you were the one who came to Donnelly's when Kevin and I did the wing episode. I'm fairly certain that that was you. And he wants to know thoughts on recruiting and how much Nebraska and Iowa State suck. Well, yes, sir. Okay, good, Nathan. That's what I thought. Nebraska and Iowa State are horrible. And I actually saw a tweet from one of the media guys yesterday that said, or that was showing like the amount of offers that have gone out in the 2021 and 2022 classes.
Those are two very well-known offenders of the shoot your offers everywhere. Pray list.
Just throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks again?
Yeah, seriously.
What's the number last year? Because I remember Nebraska's last year was like 400-something.
It was like almost 5, I think. I don't know. It was something nuts.
And they can sign 25 max.
Right. So for the 2021 season, Nebraska was already at 320 or something like this. Iowa State was in the 200s maybe. And for 2021, Nebraska was already at like – or 2022, Nebraska was already at like 200. And like, as a program, how do you even –
the 2022 who class you offer? Drive yet?
What, Drake?
I said, can they even drive yet? Are they offering kids that can even drive yet?
No, they just go to local hospitals in small Nebraska towns and say, hey, you know.
You come from good stock.
Hey, you're a farmer's kid. We'll take you. We'll take you on the line in 14 years.
I guarantee you that Ike's kids got that offer, though.
Ike's kids should be getting offered by everyone in the country right now.
Yes. Immediately. Clayton Bucker already has a spot secured in the – holy shit, what class would that be?
38
class of
2038,
2039. Yeah, that's insane. That's fucking insane, dude.
That's a lock. You can lock that one in. If you can take that one to Riverside and get a line on Clayton Timothy Butker.
Over under 8 Big Ten offers, Clayton Butker.
8's a lot, dude. Even like high
6
high recruited Big Ten, like country guys don't get 8 offers because Rutgers just knows that they're not going to fucking get them.
Right, so they don't even try. And Maryland. Over under five.
You can just lock it in.
It's a 20-year bet.
All right. Drake, how much money do you give young Clayton Butker right now for his signing bonus when he gets drafted?
See, I don't have to pay nearly as much because it's such a long window. Tristan, I was looking at a product in front of me that was just a can't miss.
Right. I know. I'm just saying, you know, so give me a number.
I would pay Ike $5,000 though.
$5,000, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Leo says, even if Iowa plays, how is tailgating going to be handled? A good majority of the tailgaters around Kinnick are people in the vulnerable age range, all true, very close together. Would there have to be a half, a third? I don't know, man. That's tailgate, because tailgating does get wild. Like
it just depends. So like
I don't know what's gonna happen with tailgating. All I know is I am going to be tailgating, whether it's outside Kinnick or in a field somewhere. We're setting the trailer up somewhere and we're fucking getting blasted and we're eating a whole lot of meat. Okay, that's all I need.
So here's where I'm at with it, is that if you've seen videos of like Manhattan Beach in California and places like that that are rioting about ending this coronavirus thing, you will just see like what's going to happen in the fall that far down the line. Like people will be so sick of it because they're already sick of it rioting in on beaches. So
yeah, it's been 2 months versus, you know, 6-7 months down the
line.
Or really
gonna stop you animals from tailgating outside of Kinnick. I know that.
Yeah, oh, dude. And can you imagine like,
poor Dan Gaffey in the Iowa City Police Department is going to have to try to get out here. And
dude, such an underrated story, by the way.
What, Gaff?
The Gaff story of him getting arrested before the first game as a walk-on.
Unbelievable, dude. Let's tell it. Did we tell it?
And now he's working for that very same police department.
He's working for the police department?
He's an Iowa City cop.
That is
yeah.
It's dying. That's unbelievable. So for those that don't know, I think we did mention it one time, Daniel Gaffey.
What?
Iowa City Regina, right?
Yep.
So, you know, just a state champion.
Dude 14, could bench press a house.
Yeah, state champion 14 times over in high school. Because they recruit like every other private school in the state. Shots at Dowling, shots at Cedar Rapids Xavier, shots at
super shots at Dowling, by the way.
Yeah,
if you're from Dowling and you want the smoke, come get the smoke, because fuck you, honestly.
Wow,
you're just mad that you didn't get recruited, huh?
Yeah, dude, I was from Muscatine.
Yeah, Drake wouldn't have been recruited to Dowling if he was truly good enough. Maybe
why don't you want to go play with Jake Gervais at
yeah, you could have went to
something. You could have gone to something.
Funny story is we had an absolute dog shit head coach when I was
a freshman.
The running back going into my sophomore year in high school said that if this guy was still the head coach, he was transferring to another school. Our running back was an animal. Well, luckily, like, everybody wanted this guy out anyways, so he got fired and my buddy Tanner stayed because he was seriously a beast, but he almost did that exact thing. He was transferring to Assumption 1000% if that coach didn't get fired.
Wow. Well, it worked out for Gervais, you know,
but I would have never played with Gervais, dude. I would have fought him every single day.
Someone would have been hurt because you fought in practice. Only one of you would have made the active roster on the game day.
It wouldn't have been the kid named Jake.
Probably not. Although you weren't well.
Ask Jake how our encounters went in high school.
Okay, I will do that. I'm picturing a Kinnick Stadium with like one person every three seats or something weird like that. And I just don't know what that looks like or what it sounds like or what the feel of that is. What do you guys think about those, like the potential scenarios there? Like,
I think it's a lot more likely that there is no fans versus half fans or whatever.
Yeah.
Because even if you only put 30,000 people or 20,000 people, you know, guess what? People aren't going to space out. People are going to get together, high five, and like do all the crazy shit that fans love to do.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I just don't know if the university will look at it. It's like, oh, we're only letting in half the fans. They're going to really behave themselves and stay apart from each other. I just
right.
don't think it's realistic.
Right. And at the same time, like, it takes like the fan experience is being close to one another, high fives, all that stuff. And like, it just wouldn't be the same. Like the crowd noise would be weird. I don't know, man. But at the same time, playing in an empty stadium, it'd be like Tuesday practice.
If we're playing in an empty stadium, leave the refs at home.
Well, you can't do that.
I'm not exactly sure how that worked, but I'm just going to say this. You know, there's some Springbok practices or some camp practices that get pretty live, man. It gets chippy. Offense starts, you know, chirping at the defense and vice versa, man. I think it actually might be kind of fun as a player.
Do you guys remember late in camp our senior year, there was a play in Kinnick in a goal line period that didn't stop at the whistle whatsoever. It still didn't stop. I ran and jumped on this pile without a helmet on, ended up coming out with the football, and got my ass ripped by Doyle. Chewed me up.
I don't remember.
I do remember you getting your ass ripped by Doyle. I don't remember the play, but I then remember the ensuing situation.
I just had to shrug it off. I was like, well, Doyle wasn't, I know what you want me to do, coach.
You weren't in on the play, and then you like ran into the
Torin ran the ball and scored. The whistles were blowing, but the defense didn't want to like let him go across the line or go across the goal line. You know, it's the same thing.
So then he didn't competition. Score.
It's competition.
I think he did score, but then the defense drove him back, and it was like
he ended up on his back with people on top of him trying to get the ball away, and I didn't like that, so I just like charged. We were only about 10 yards behind because, you know, we run it
with because the offense doesn't pay attention to the rules and they don't stand on the sidelines. They kill right behind the huddle, and you know, someone from, you know, 2 yards off the sideline likes to sub in sometimes. Like, oh, we got a receiver over here. Like, oh.
This guy likes to tell my story, huh?
Well, Kevin's animosity and allegiance to the defense.
Listen, the whole story ends with me getting the ball when I shouldn't have, coming from the other sideline like I shouldn't have, but defending my teammate like I always will say I should have. And I don't know. I got my ass ripped.
Unbelievable.
I think the perk's use is to rip your ass because
I was an idiot.
Yeah.
I don't know. What would be so odd to me is like all of the craziness of special teams in Kinnick, Kevin, when Doyle would call up, you know, the punt group.
Punt alert,
like you gotta shift through everybody. There's a shitload of people on the, like a lot of people on the sideline. Like Kinnick loses its edge, obviously, a little bit when there's nobody in the stands. You can't deny that. But at the same time, I feel like the team almost gains one, because if there is ever a team that just will go play you out on a field somewhere, paint the lines, get the refs, we don't need the fans of the TV, like I feel like it would be the Hawks, right?
That's our motto, dude. I think that's painted somewhere in the complex.
It might
be. Well, there's obviously it'd be on TV. They're not just
well, it'd be on TV.
They'd just be playing this game just for shits and giggles, like in the backyard.
Sure.
But yeah, I think there would be a lot less people on the sideline. Like you wouldn't need any security people.
Right.
There'd be less TV people for sure.
No cheerleaders.
All of the people, like cheerleaders wouldn't be there.
How funny would that be if there were cheerleaders? They're just waiting
to the empty crowd, or like they're in the stands, like, go, team, go.
Go. Hawks. Go.
I. And it's just like this.
They have the flags going in each corner.
It's just like six guys in their fucking big cones. And you can hear like the echo
from outside the stadium.
Aye, aye, aye. Like, well, you know, still got that IOWA chant.
Would it be a lot easier?
Does the band still perform at halftime, though? Does the band still perform at halftime?
No. Like,
why not?
Because there's no one to perform.
Unless they need some practice.
I mean, you know. The TV needs its halftime cuts. They need a cut of something at halftime.
This guy, Leo, says he watched some of the Korean baseball, which we can talk about that. And they have cheerleaders.
This guy said, would it be a lot easier in Ohio without fans? And, yes, it would be a lot easier in Columbus, especially after the 2017 body bags comment without fans.
I got to imagine every game. I don't know if it would be easier because it works for both teams, right? But in a way, it takes – here's how it gets easier. It's not linear, right? So you take away this distraction, this whole this whole piece to what a normal sporting event is. And now it's like, okay, what program is built to handle basically a scrimmage scenario better, right? And coming from Iowa, I don't know if there's another program built better for a scrimmage. Like, I really don't. Some of those teams,
especially, nobody's got the Coach Doyle and his whistle factor.
Dude, I got to, like, teams like Ohio State, and, you know, they're good. They're very good. They're very talented. They can go out on most days and just run through other teams because of their talent level. However, in close games, teams like that tend to have guys who thrive on the show. You know, they love the show of it. And if they don't have those guys cheering for them, they score a touchdown and they can't go smack guys' hands. Like, some of those guys and some of those programs would struggle more than others in keeping a focus and understanding that it was still for a check in the win column. Like, it was all the same. It was worth the same as if everybody was there. So,
you know what I would think is going to be funny is when the guys start posting to Instagram with no fans in the background.
No fans. Dude, it'd be hilarious. Like, Amir scores a touchdown and, like, down in the end zone, and is just like hands up looking at the empty stadium. And it was like,
it's like, hey, you go to Kinnick for a photo shoot or something? Where's everyone at?
Right. He's fully dressed. Like,
yeah.
Terrible.
It would ruin, like, alternate jerseys, kind of. Like, man.
But, man, it would have made it a lot easier to call plays in Death Valley or Happy Valley or whatever.
It's true. You could call all the plays you wanted.
There wasn't shit happy about that place, by the way, if anybody was wondering.
Hey, guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify. One of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
Yeah, Happy Valley felt more like
Death Valley.
Like, I walked into a very, very hostile valley with poles that were stuck up my ass. That's more what it felt like. Have you ever not been more, like, have you ever wanted to be gone from a game before it ended more than that game?
The Rose Bowl.
Minnesota 2014.
Man, it's those three. But for me, the Penn State one was like, I don't know. We punted so
I guess that's times. True because at least the Rose Bowl, we could still look around at the nice mountains and take in the fact that, hey, at least we made it to the Rose Bowl. Where we were in Happy Valley just getting our dicks kicked.
I love the stadium. It was cool.
There's nothing like more demoralizing than hearing punt alert like 3 seconds after you get the ball, and then, you know, like 4 minutes later you're out there for kickoff return because they just scored another touchdown.
And then another
2.5 minutes later, it's punt alert. Okay, dude. We're 3rd and 14 again. It's like,
nah, oh, dude. There was so many times where we were 1st and 10 on the field. We try to change the play, hardly get the play changed, don't run a very good play because of it. The next play, jump off sides because nobody can hear anything. And then I just get called off the field real quick.
Yeah, we don't need 21 personnel anymore. We're in a
that one situation. It was already 2nd and 8 or 9, and now it's 13.
And 2nd and 13, me and Kluver are already walking over to Doyle because we know how it's coming up.
Just looking
in Happy Valley when we can't even hear CJ. Yeah, it's over.
Not good, dude. Like, you know when it's a 3 or 4 yard loss on a first down, and I'm just looking at us, like. There's anxiety, right? As a specialist, like, you got to go be perfect every single time. And in a game like that, it's very hard to stave off the feeling and the notion of like, I could really severely make this worse if I.
Can you imagine? That's the only thing that could have made that game worse, if you just thrown one through.
Imagine we're getting. Imagine Penn State just whipping our ass, and then right in the middle of it, I just throw one out of the end zone. Like, coach, I just.
Coach Ferentz just takes a towel from the sideline, throws it to midfield, and walks in the locker.
We're done. We're fucking done.
All right, that's it. Kluber, that was the last fucking strap. We're out of this fucking place.
Can't even fucking replace you because we don't have any other fucking long snappers on the trip with us. God damn. Kevin, how degenerate are you? Are you degenerate enough to get on some betting on the Korean baseball?
Well, I'll be betting on the UFC heavily this weekend.
Yeah, the first event is back from once.
Nah, no Korean baseball for me, man. I bet to make money, so
football. You're covering your phone up again.
I only bet on football because I feel like mostly college football too, because I feel like I have a pretty good understanding what's going on in that sport.
It's awards winners, baby.
It's going to be back September. Fans or no fans, it's coming back. I'll do March Madness just because it's March Madness and it's kind of fun. Other than that, I don't really do a whole lot of betting.
Which we got fucked out of this year, too. I want so badly for there to be football, just like just remembering awards winners and like talking about the teams and breaking it down. Like, I want that so bad. Like,
I miss November of last year.
Yeah.
After Maction starts happening on Tuesday nights, so you got Tuesday night Maction. Wednesday night, somebody started playing again. I think Maction was on Wednesday nights again too, or something.
Yeah. Like
that. Then you have Thursday night football, NFL, and college. And if you want to go watch a high school game on Friday and bet on it with your buddy, sure, go ahead, do that. I'm not condoning it, but you can do it. But there's also college football on Fridays now too. Then you got college football on Saturday. NFL's all day Sunday, obviously. And then you got Monday night. There was football every night of the week, and it was fucking awesome.
It's really and now I haven't left my house in like 54 days. I look like Forrest Gump when he just didn't stop running, and I'm done with it, man.
I kind of in the beginning of this was, and I still am for the most part, like I've mentioned it, I'm built for a quarantine situation. Love being at home. I could watch YouTube and listen to podcasts and read books and just play Pokemon all day for months.
Right, but, and that's stuff that you could have done before quarantine too.
Well, right, but you know, occasionally when there's no quarantine, like I'll go out to at least go out to eat or like go hang with the very limited amount of friends that my wife and I do have. Like, so has there been a point where like you guys have felt like really felt the depression of this thing, like where it hit you? Because for me, it was probably a week ago, and I was sitting there and I was like, God damn, I really just want to go sit down at a Mexican restaurant and have some chips and queso. And that's all I want right now. And I just want to enjoy that experience of sitting at a restaurant and just, you know, background noise, bunch of conversations going on, and I just couldn't do it.
For me, there was stages to it, because when they canceled the championship games, I couldn't believe it. And when it was just like a state of shock. And then it was just kind of like sad, because you're like, wow, well, you don't have anything to do. Then Dana White came to save the day
and said, we're doing it.
We're doing it, right? And then all of a sudden, somehow Disney says that it's just not going to happen. I don't know. I think there's a conspiracy there. But, you know, that was a pretty devastating blow for old Drakey. That one hurt.
Now, in that kind of realm, in the Drake realm of, I know you don't play poker and you haven't been able to because of this quarantine and all that. My brothers, Austin and Zach, both in the last 5 days have Austin binked for 1,100 on an online tourney, and Zach binked last night for 480.
Nice.
So
nice.
pretty
on some random offshore account that probably pays them back in Bitcoin, huh?
I mean, there's you can do Bitcoin, but it's just I think it's just ACR, ACR.
I'm not playing on them sketchy ass places. They're botted terribly.
ACR is, I mean, maybe at the higher stakes, but ACR is like pretty good. They've upgraded a bunch of their stuff since we used to play in the middle of class.
Well, I mean, I talking about 6 months ago.
I think they just recently upgraded. But anyway, yeah. Kevin, what's your thoughts on? Well, first of all, Kevin, I actually want to address you. You occasionally, like once every 2 weeks, will get a little political on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get a little political on Twitter, which I love. You quote tweeted Shannon Sharpe yesterday.
I did.
He said he was confused on where we got $3 trillion, and then you basically gave like your what seemed like an annoyed explanation. Obviously, you knew that it wasn't for Shannon Sharpe. He didn't give a fuck, or he's not going to read that. But like, just for you to voice your opinion. Do you have any more to say on that topic, or?
I mean, we don't want to get super political on this podcast because one, we're three idiots right now, and
yeah,
obviously people aren't going to really care what we have to say about politics and
super idiots.
You probably shouldn't take a whole lot of what you do get from politics. I mean, you probably shouldn't be listening to a whole lot of athletes' opinions on politics. Yes. Sure, some are well-informed, some are not. It's, everyone's entitled to have an opinion, but whose opinions are more informed than others, it's whatever. But yes, my tweet was that there is not just an unlimited amount of money. Eventually money does run out. This money that people think just came out of nowhere comes from future taxpayers that have to pay it back because the Fed just issues T-bills and, people buy them up. They get paid back X amount of years later. Could be 2, could be 10, could be 20, whatever. Anyways.
And then at the end of it, you said it's fine now, but then when a McDouble costs $30, that sucks. And then we had a nice little conversation about McDonald's, which was fantastic. Now,
the old McGangbang.
For our 8 people that have stuck strong here through this thing, not sure if you've ever had it, but if you take a couple McDoubles and a McChicken, or I guess one McDouble and one McChicken, and smash them together, in the chat, put what you would call that, the slang term for what you would call a McChicken and a McDouble put together.
You don't smash them together. You take the McDouble apart.
You put
in
it
in between the two patties. It has to go in between the two patties. Then you put the McChicken there. Then you put the other half of the McDouble back on top.
Now, Matthew said the McWard, which it could be called because Kevin was a fan, big fan. Leo says McGangbang, and I am also on the McGangbang train.
It's a McGangbang.
Kevin, you say McBitchin.
So around Providence Catholic circa 2012, it was a McBitchin.
Okay.
Well, it's a McGangbang in Muscatine.
And in Marshalltown, which.
Yeah, I've never heard anyone else call it a McBitchin. Everyone says McGangbang.
So that's just
apparently we were.
That's a Homer Glenn thing.
What would you call that?
It's just a bunch of rich kids that never saw a gangbang before.
That's true. Hey, Tyler Blevins wants to come into the thing. Do you know who that is?
Yeah,
it's Ninja. So you think that's a hacker or no? Huh? Remove.
Come in, see what he has to say.
No, I'm not letting him in. Kevin, in our Benton Street Savages chat, it seems that Josie, Bo, and Ike. This is to you both, actually, are all about the conspiracy theory on this corona. I would love to hear.
Man, now that we're finding out it wasn't a bat, like the bat was getting fed to us. And I'm like, there's no fucking chance that some Asian dude eats a bat and the world shuts down. No way, dude. It doesn't end like this, okay? It fucking doesn't. The sports didn't get canceled. Our world and our lives did not get canceled because some Asian dude hit a bad bat. It didn't happen. And so now we're, you know, I don't know the answers, man, but I don't believe anybody at this point. And I'm kind of sitting here in my house on day whatever of this bullshit. And I'm like, what's the point anymore, dude? Like, can we just nuke the planet and get it over with? Like, we're all going to die eventually anyways. Like, let's just cook it.
Well, if that's your theory, then let's just open everything back up. Let's get some sports going, and, you know, the virus will kill us in time. Let us at least have some football for a streak. Come on.
That's fine. I'll degen my whole everything off as long as I know that the nukes are going to fly.
Wow. Clue, to your point, man, that conspiracy video that Josie sent us in the chat was – very interesting. I don't know what to believe, man. I'd have to do more research on it to see if I actually believe in what that video was touting. But,
well,
I think the problem is these days, and it's not just with coronavirus, it's just any freaking issue in society today, is that there's just so much information. Our problem as a society isn't a lack of information. It's so much overbearing, overwhelming information that says a whole lot of different shit that no one knows what to believe.
Yeah, right. So much falsity. Yeah.
It's true. And we're part of the problem, you know?
Because we're the noise. We're the
fucking noise. No, listen. First of all, I'm not the noise. I'll never admit to it. And because that's not what I come on here and do. Listen, Kluver might be the noise. If Kluver wants to admit to being the noise, Kluver can admit to being the noise.
I'm fully in the noise, and I might as well.
If you listen to what I talk about on this podcast, I'm not the noise.
Yeah, you're not.
Okay, so then to continue, where were we even talking about before I got called the noise?
Well, noise, we were talking about Josie and Ike thinking that Bill Gates owns Corona.
Well, see, if Bilbo thinks he's going to stick me with a fucking needle, he's lost his fucking mind, because he's not. He ain't getting me.
Dude. So this is, you know, my, you know, skeptical side of the conspiracy theory argument is that, you know, and maybe this is a false, you know, line of thinking, but if I'm Bill Gates and I have, I don't know how much he has now, $80 billion,
a lot.
Do I really care about fucking over the world for another 10?
Right, yeah.
Maybe he's an evil human being. I don't know. I've never met Bill Gates. I like to think that he's a nice guy. He might not be.
I don't know. Like a creep.
But that's where it kind of gets flaky for me. I don't know.
I'll say this. On my end of it, I'm not a conspiracy theorist by any means. I think it's a case-by-case thing where you have to, like, really dive into each one and figure out, like, because obviously, you know, did we land on the moon, 9/11, all this stuff. On the case of the coronavirus, Corona Chronicles 2020, I have to imagine that we're at the point in 2020 where disease warfare is fairly simple, you know? And like, people are really smart. And the only thing that contains that is, like, you know, governments who have regulations and make sure that shady people aren't running fucking level 4 quarantine labs in China or whatever, and that shit doesn't get out. Now, China.
China.
It's the Chinese virus, okay?
It came from China. It is, dude. It's the Wuhan Weezer, man.
The Wuhan Weezer. I haven't heard that one.
The Wu flu.
So, I don't know. I think the idea is very easy. Like, it would be very easy for some guy, if he was able to get past and get the virus out into the public. Dude, China, like, the more populated cities, you just take that shit out into a big crowd of people, and that's all it needs. Cause then
dude, all you got to do is put it on your pocket.
Yeah. I mean,
you just slip a disc on your pocket, and it's over with.
Right. And then it gets out, and then what happens. But
Man, well, I'm not. It probably is a man caused thing, like you're saying, Drake. It did not just come from a dude eating a bat. I think.
But why did they try and push us to believe that someone ate a bat?
Bat soup, but.
I mean, they were talking about in that video how Ebola couldn't be transferred to human cells until they engineered it to do so.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't think.
But the more interesting part of the video they said is, the cover up of supposed treatments that work.
Right. Yeah, that's a huge part of it. It's like,
that's something I'd want to look more into. And fans who haven't seen this video, they're talking about the malaria drug seems to have had good
success
effects, but it's all there's no clinical data on it.
I don't know.
Fucking word.
It starts with an E, I think. We're so fucking stupid.
Well, yeah. Anyway, to get sidetracked.
Anecdotal.
Anecdotal.
What I've been doing to clear the coronavirus. So I heard that the Clorox bleach works, the Clorox wipes and stuff. So you know them Glade plugins?
Yeah, you just been eating those.
You take a Glade plug-in. you take a Glade plug-in and you fill it full of Clorox, and then you sit on it. And it just squirts the Clorox up your ass, and it just cleans you out real good.
Hey, Leo, I know anecdotal doesn't start with an E. I remember that.
Is that where the coronavirus is, Jake? Is it up your
keister? Listen, it's just because, a lot of nutrients are absorbed through your intestines. That's where your body gets its nutrients from its food. So I'm just going back.
You're shoving all the way up your intestines, huh?
Well, no, it's just I'm expecting there to be some residual absorbing qualities in the tissues. So it gets to where it gets.
Right, Kevin, so, right?
Drake, if you were a doctor, would you condone butt chugging bleach?
See, but it's not butt chugging. You know how snake whispers? You take a snake whisper, it tells you that he's been bitten by snakes hundreds of times, and why doesn't it kill him? And it's because he was injecting the snake's venom little by little and building up a self-anecdote to it. And that, my friend, is what you do with the Glade plug-in, because it's only a spritz. The first time it gives you one spritz, and it's, ooh, it burns a little bit. But get through it, okay? And then when your body gets through the trauma of what it just experienced, you feel cleansed, but it doesn't last forever, obviously, because germs can be spread pretty frequently. So you just have to get to it being a process. It's like you ever been to Europe and used a bidet?
Nope.
Very similar to bidet. It just burns a little bit more from the chemical. That's it.
We're gonna get taken down based on dangerous misinformation.
Drake literally is the second version of Trump standing there in that press conference and going, "And so you say that the disinfectant can get into the lungs and it kills the virus right away, and you said you've tested that, okay, and then you can take cleaning supplies and put it in the skin." Potentially through an IV or other ways of doing it, and you've tested that as well, and that could all work. For those listening,
that was my attempt at stand-up comedy. I don't know how I did.
You heard it here first.
No, I think that's actual truth. If we had a live look into your bathroom, I think we'd find a whole Glade set up there with.
And look, I'm still here, dude. I'm still kicking. We're still doing good here.
I still haven't seen data and numbers on the fact that if you do an IV of bleach drip, that it'll kill you. I don't know that.
where's the clinical data on that?
Yeah, where are the studies?
I pour bleach in my garbage disposal to make it smell better.
Okay. Well, yeah, that makes a little sense. Where did I want to go with this? I don't even know. Someone said something.
Where do we ever go with this podcast, man?
I don't know, dude. This is our most nonsensical podcast yet. Everyone listening. So for those who have made it 45 minutes into this podcast.
Wait, before you say this, Clue, Kevin, to your point that this has been all nothingness, the world is nothingness right now, man. We're just trying to create content to get people through a certain amount of time. Like, if they can just laugh with us through this podcast and be like, wow, what Drake just said about Glade is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And I know that I lost IQ points because of it. Now I know what he feels like when he did 23B, when he just feels his brain leaving his ears. I know that feeling now. Now that the fans have a little bit of like experience, man, they've been in the battle with us because they just heard me tell a story about taking bleach up my butt.
Right. Totally makes sense.
So to your point, this is my one thing about opening versus staying closed is, yes, people are so ridiculously bored and we're doing this podcast, so people have something to listen to, I guess. The sad thing is that there have been a lot more suicides, and the rates of domestic violence have gone significantly up. So
yeah, definitely in my household.
I'm kidding. Jesus Christ! Holy shit!
My wife.
We should not air this episode.
Oh, this episode's getting posted, boys. I just didn't do a 3 or 4 bit for this episode to not get posted.
Yeah, I didn't throw out that punchline for it to not be posted. That's a joke for everybody listening. Tanner said yikes in the chat. For anyone listening,
doesn't have bruises, but she's not in the room today for some reason.
Yeah,
you've been in the room for the last several podcasts. Well, I don't know why she's not here today, but.
Well, yeah. You're right, Kev. The divorce rate's supposed to go way up.
I have a divorce rate joke queued up, but I'm just going to wait on it.
Okay.
And I'm going to wait until it peaks. And I'm going, because I can do that,
right,
I'm going to make divorce jokes because I can.
Well, we can make any jokes that we want, because that's the beauty of comedy.
Is because now, it's funny, you laugh.
Right. And Kevin and I, Ankeny PD has entered the chat. I don't live in Ankeny, dude.
Don't you?
Live in Waukee.
Oh, your parents live in Ankeny.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'll say this. Back to the whole covering up of covering up. What are you laughing at?
Idiot, Kevin. He always posts about the key.
Yeah, it's the fucking key.
Well, baby. I don't – Ankeny, Waukee, a lot of keys around Iowa.
Funny story, actually. We'll leave off with this from my wedding. The morning of my wedding, we had hung out the night before and at my house in Waukee. Now, the next morning, we were scheduled to get ready in Ankeny because that's where the kind of shindig was going down, and that's where all the cars were being left, yada, yada. Miguel and his brother drove all the way to Waukee the night or the morning of from their hotel in Ankeny when we were hanging out in Ankeny that morning. And so Miguel and his brother were late to the fucking breakfast.
And he was so mad.
Oh, he was pissed.
He was very upset.
He was pissed. Man,
he might have been more mad than the time that Doyle told him he counted wrong.
Oh, dude, he was adamant that he did not count wrong, and I know for a fact that he did. And to his deathbed, he will say that he was right and every single other person was wrong. And that's Miguel Racinos. That's the big leg Latino, baby.
There's some point that the story about Kluver's aunt and Kevin's mom – almost fighting is going to come out on this podcast. I'm not telling it yet. It might be 500 episodes in. We might be 30 by the time I tell this story.
Let's do it on episode 500.
Because it's a great story.
Yeah. Bo was filthed.
I was filthed. I left the wedding. I literally went inside, told the story, went to where I was eating food to get my jacket, called an Uber and left. That was the last. And then I moved to Arizona. That was it. That was it, bro. I was out. I was done. I walked through the wedding and told the story so that other people could go out and tell her how stupid she was. And then I took my jacket and I left for Arizona.
Nah, the story can't come out now. We're too close. It's too close. It hadn't even been a year yet. Anniversary haven't even hit. We're going to close this thing down because, honestly, the walk-on slacked this week on a guest. We had to throw this thing together last minute. Now I have to edit and put it up for tomorrow. And then that'll probably be the last day of the podcast because we talked about tons of things like conspiracies and domestic abuse and sitting your asshole down on a bottle of bleach. So that is –
sounds like we covered it all, giggity.
Right. So that's about it. I want to thank you guys a whole bunch. Honestly, I'm a little disappointed from the turnout. We did have to turn away a bunch of probably just as many people that are in here. I had to turn away because I knew they were hacking. But
that
I thought
lunch hour podcast, man, it was just a good one and done.
Yeah.
There was like 30, 40, 50, whatever, 50 people in there. And it was a great hour. Yeah, Why did Zoom have to fuck it up?
Yeah. And all these people trying to hack and fucking all that stuff. So thanks for joining us. This will be out again tomorrow if you want to re-listen to it, which you probably don't, unless you want to hear the bit about bleach and your butt. That's it. That's all I got. Jet fuel doesn't melt steel beams.
Heart don't have stars.
Heart don't have stars.
And butt bleach cures corona.
And Bill's Mafia till the day I die.
Bill's Mafia till we die, or until they don't have Ike and Micah and Ease and who am I missing?
AJ.
AJ.
Yep. Thanks for coming, everybody. That's episode 113 or 14 of the Walk-Ons. This podcast sucks. Walk-Ons out.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.